It is time to be joined by Brian Ross and Real News. And yes, we have real news to talk about again this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall, and it's grim news.
You know, it gets out of the Ukraine and out of Soviet Union, it gets grimmer and grimmer. I mean, the mass grave, the pictures of the bodies killed execution style, and Russia trying to deny it, and there's just too much media and video where their denials will ever hold up in the world of opinion, except for in Russia and some of their neighboring allies, which will always say that it didn't happen, it was staged.
Right, and I think Thomas Friedman in the New York Times opinion columnist put it, you know, that Vladimir Putin had no clue how many people would be watching what he did, and we are now watching it, and you know, hats off to the brave journalists who have stayed in Ukraine and are able to bring out and independently verify all that we are seeing now. And it's stunning that the Russians are really in the last century thinking they can perpetrate this crime and then get away with a massive lie.
Well, what it also shows you is the conviction that that NATO really has to really stand up and take a look at it, and also the United States, and that is that this power grab to control Ukraine and take it back over and become part of the USSR as it used to exist is not going to go away very easily, and if the European Union, NATO, and the United States really don't put an end to it here, there's a lot of other countries that have got worries.
Right, that's absolutely true. And if we, as I was saying this morning, someone was reporting that if we don't stop Putin here, it will spread. He won't be through. He'll see he can get away with this. It is amazing to me that you know, the U.S. has continued to pump in so much emergency arms and backup, and that other countries are now, including the Czechs, sending in tanks. This is an incredible rearmament by the West that is right in Putin's face, and it's just that we could probably even go further without triggering his threats.
Well, basically right now, what Russia is doing is just a plain burn and destruction. Now, there's now intense fighting in the eastern portions of Ukraine, but there's been intense fighting there for 8 years. But for the rest of Ukraine, they're just lobbing in cruise missiles and blowing up whatever they can blow up. Now, that's not going to continue because they're not going to exhaust their supply of cruise missiles, but the fighting in the east of the Ukraine is really going to get very, very serious.
Right, and this appears to be the Russian playbook. We've seen it before in Chechnya, where they essentially leveled the town there to drive out the civilian population and then occupy the land. It has no value on any people, but from their point of view, it does have a kind of a strategic value for the Russians to get that gateway across to the Black Sea. But I tell you, it's such a game changer. The pictures are so appalling, and since everyone is seeing them now instantaneously, I think that this is a turning point, really, in history, not just of this invasion, of this war, but of how we see Russia. Can you imagine how we would ever make a peace deal, that the Ukrainians would make a peace deal with them after what they've done? It's hard to see it.
Yeah, it's really hard to see it. And the next major turn will be sooner or later, the thousands of Russian troops that have been killed. Sooner or later, you can't hide that from the families back home. And that will have a major impact on in-Russia relations, not with all the community, with the far out, the rural communities. They'll always back Putin. But you get into the major cities and the major population cities where there's more and more young people and young families, and their sons are not coming home from this war in the numbers of thousands, which is amazing. Sooner or later, that's got to put some heat, along with the economy in Russia, on the government.
I hope you're right, but so far that hasn't been the case. And this law they've passed that you get thrown in prison if you even suggest it's even close to an invasion or a war has silenced almost all the opposition. And Putin, I guess, knows how to pull the strings too. He's a dictator, no doubt about it, and a brutal one. And he'll be brutal with his enemies, and he'll be brutal with his own country if he needs to.
Let's talk about some good news. We are going to get the first black female member of the Supreme Court.
That is very good news. I guess the vote will likely take place today. Congress wants to get out of there by tomorrow at the latest, so it seems all but assured that there'll be a 53 senators voting for her, and that is a major sort of development in this country, and shame on those other Republicans who can't find a way to vote for an incredibly, impeccably qualified woman.
Well, you know, I guess I wouldn't feel bad if they didn't vote for her, but if the what's becoming, you know, this process is now broken because what the Republicans were objecting against was pure poppycock, and it didn't only extend to her, but the way the one Republican talked to our defense secretary showed a total lack of understanding about what Americans' foreign policy should be.
You know, talk about the Republican Party. You know, when will I stand up to the crazies in the party who continue to talk about Mitt Romney being soft on pedophiles? That's the reason not to vote for a Judge Jackson. I just don't see it. It borders, of course, and it's reminiscent of the whole QAnon conspiracy theories about this hidden pockets of pedophiles capturing our children. I mean, it is crazy talk that has gone into the mainstream of one of our two national political parties.
I want to, seeing as you're a person who reports the news and has been reporting the news and investigates the news, when it was announced that the White House press secretary was retiring and going to join MSNBC News, in my media mind, I said, well, this is MSNBC countering the former press secretary, who was Republican, who was a very moderate Republican. But this is another woman coming on board to counter those views with a more liberal view. But I have to think that journalists sooner or later have to reach the breaking point, true journalists, about the move from the White House press secretary so quickly to a major news network.
Well, it's happened again and again. You know, my former colleague at ABC, George Stephanopoulos, yeah, left the Clinton administration, and it wasn't long before he showed up at ABC News, and now is their anchor for the morning programs. You know, it can be done. I think there are serious questions, though, now that she's actually negotiating with one of the networks. How does she continue to have that job?
Yeah.
I'm not quite clear on that. I think it's an issue. You know, it's one thing to leave and then negotiate a deal, but to be negotiating while you're still in that job, deciding who gets what interviews, what information should go out, I think she's made a mistake here, and I think MSNBC has made a mistake. And you see reporting this morning in the New York Times and elsewhere that the president of NBC News had to have an emergency meeting with members of the Washington Bureau who are very upset with how this is being played out and don't think that a person like that should... you know, they shouldn't be negotiating with her, and they're questioning whether she should be even part of NBC News. They're upset about it, and you see the same thing over at CBS. They're upset there that CBS has hired a former Trump chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, who was could not have been harsher and told more falsehoods about the media when he was in Trump's staff.
It's an amazing time in the media. A couple other stories. A blast from the past, Sarah Palin has got a candidacy going for the House, and that's opened up a rift in the GOP. When I saw this, I said, my gosh, I thought that she was just a part of history, but we're not so lucky.
Well, it's very interesting. What we'll see happening in Alaska will be fascinating because the current Republican Senator, Lisa Murkowski, is running for re-election, and Donald Trump has opposed her, urging people to vote against her. He's urging people to vote for Sarah Palin. It could well turn out because of the unique way that the Alaska elections are held, where it's sort of like the New York mayor elections. It's a ranking thing. He could lose on both counts. The candidate he wants to lose could win, and the candidate he wants to win could lose.
It's some pretty amazing things that we're going through now, taking a look at politics and the world as a view. But, hey, it keeps us able to talk about news, I guess.
Well, it does. And let's not forget, for all of our gnashing our teeth over QAnon and Republicans, you know, they're still free to say what they want. Nobody's trying to shut down anybody. But it's are also free to say it's crazy, I think.
All right, Brian, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
All right, and stay dry, Marshall.
I'll try. Take care.
Yeah. Okay.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio, and you can find Brian at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross.